This is Rush Hour with Danny Burke on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to it, folks. It is time for another edition of Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke, your host here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Plenty to get to and get you prepared for throughout the next hour here on the program. We've got plenty to preview for this weekend after that sensational four-game slate this past week. I mean, my goodness, that was incredible. And now we get a little bit of time to digest. We get to prepare for this upcoming week, and helping us dissect all of that, Danielle Alvari. Look, she's got it stacked. She's got it made well over there on the West Coast, host of the Los Angeles CityCast, and she's got her L.A. team, the Rams, in there, and she's got the 49ers, not technically L.A., but still close enough for Danielle. So we'll bring her on in 15 minutes to get her thoughts for that game, see if she's eyeing out any early unique type of wagers and just overall game thoughts, and then we'll talk some NBA Western Conference futures, talk about our Lakers, and a little bit about the Clippers. Further along in the show, half hour from now, Adam Burke, VSiN's betting analyst, will talk pretty much everything. We've got some NFL early preview with him. We've got some college basketball, and if we got time, we'll swing elsewhere with Adam, but otherwise, we'll mainly focus on the NFL and college hoops with Adam in 30 minutes. And then at the end of the show, 45 minutes from now, I'm going to give my early thoughts for the NFL Championship weekend, take a look at where these lines open, where they've moved to, any wagers we might be jumping in on early or waiting for, and we got to assess our futures hold that we are currently on with the Chiefs. So a lot to talk about throughout the course of the show, but beginning, we're going to do kind of like we did on Friday. We're going to start out with some of the action going on around town, specifically because we are in the Chicagoland area. We got the Bulls and the Blackhawks to look forward to tonight, and then I also got another play on the ice. But let's begin with the Bulls. Now, it should be a favorable matchup, right? But the same thing was said last night for this Bulls team as they took on the Orlando Magic, and it was one of the worst losses for the Bulls this season. Now, it doesn't help that they are still plagued with so many injuries, especially after the dirty foul committed by Grayson Allen. Only being suspended one game is, you know, BS, a lot of people here around the town will say. But look, the Bulls just can't catch a break, and you're hoping that can be the case tonight. The line movement is not really indicating it, though. They are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And look, Oklahoma City is not a solid team by any stretch of the imagination. They're on a five-game losing streak. They've also lost the last 12 out of 14 games. Now, the Bulls have lost their last 7 out of 10, so it's not been pretty for this Bulls team either, but they're still fighting for the most part. Exception was last night, and they've still been competitive. I mean, DeRozan dropped 41 in that effort that was lost last night against the Magic. So, I mean, this game opened too, and you're seeing it now at about 1.5, still in favor of Chicago. Total at 217 really hasn't wavered one way or the other. The interesting news that everybody's kind of waiting for is if Zach LaVine and Javonte Green are going to play. So they originally weren't touted as coming into this road trip, but now they actually surprisingly made the trip. And they're questionable for tonight's game, which of course would be a tremendous boost for this team and this offense. And Vucevic is questionable as well, so something to monitor, but the line would be reflecting in the sense that they're probably not going to play. And, you know, being the pessimistic that I am with Chicago sports, I tend to lean that they're probably not going to play, but in case they do, I really like the idea of getting them at a short number here. It's a buy low spot for Chicago. And look, even if they don't go, and hopefully you can at least get Vooch or at least Javonte Green, if not LaVine, this Bulls team still should have the advantage. I mean, the Thunder have a couple decent pieces here and there, but really they've struggled throughout the course of this season majorly. I mean, they're like 18th in defensive points per 100 possession, allowing 111 this season. And offensively, they're dead last. In offensive points per 100 possessions, they're only racking up 102.5. So this Bulls team, as bad as they have been lately, as banged up as they are, they need this win. And it sounds terrible to say it against the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it's the flat-out truth, right? And we said that last week at home against the Cavaliers, and they got the job done there. And then you lose a tough one against Milwaukee. Last night, you get embarrassed against the Magic. Now is the time to take advantage against a lackluster Oklahoma City team and get the job done. Hopefully, you can get one or two or all three of those guys playing tonight. But regardless, I'm banking on the fact that the Bulls still have the advantage here, and I bet them on the money line. When it comes to short spreads, you know how I roll. Rather pay a little bit more to have that security, especially in the NBA with all the wonky happenings that go the end of the game with free throws, dumb shots, you name it. I will rather and gladly pay a little bit more. 125 is what I got right now. It's minus 121. I will opt in to do the money line for the Bulls over the Thunder. So we will be rooting for the Bulls tonight. Hopefully they can be healthy. Another game in the Chicagoland parts, not taking place in Chicago, but with one of the teams, is the Blackhawks going on the road against the Avalanche. This one probably is not going to favor the Chicago team. Colorado opened minus 290 in this game, and you saw immediate movement go toward them up to about minus 315. Blackhawks now catching plus 260. Total went up to about 6.5. These teams have already met twice. The last outing was at the UC. Avalanche won in overtime, 4-3. The other game that they had, Marc-Andre Fleury was also in the net. They lost 4-2. I think that was back in October or November, somewhere pretty early in the season. So Fleury looks like he is going to be a go tonight. Again, he's 0-2 against the Avalanche, 4.03 goals against average, and a save percentage of 88. So he's definitely struggled against them. And look, Colorado's a really dominant team. I mean, they've won 6 straight, and even more so, they've won 15 straight at home. That's why they are a huge favorite here. Now, it looks like it's going to be Francouz, the backup goalie for the Colorado Avalanche. So you're not getting Darcy Kuemper in there, who's had success against the Blackhawks. It's going to make a difference. Maybe, maybe not. Puck line would probably be the only way I'd look at it, or win in regulation, but even that's a little bit too steep. So this one, I'm, you know, realistically banking on Colorado to get the job done. The only way I would approach it, though, look at the puck line if you don't mind laying it with Colorado, or wait for an in-game bet, which actually might be the better approach now that you're getting the backup goalie for Colorado. Maybe the Blackhawks squeeze in a quick goal, and then you'll get a better price on Colorado. But nothing that I like too much that interests me for that hockey matchup. But a hockey matchup that is going to make one of my bets for tonight is going to involve Calgary and St. Louis, the Blues on the road against the Flames. And Calgary opened up actually as a sizable favorite, about minus 145. Now at BetRivers, they're up to minus 155 against St. Louis. I played them on the money line, minus 152 a little bit earlier in the day. Look, it's a tough spot for St. Louis. They're on the second leg of a back-to-back. Had a nice win last night against the Canucks, 3-1. But the thing is, they're not going to have their stud goalie who's been doing really well, Huso. It's going to be Binnington in the net, who's been fine. But if you're kind of actually looking at his statistics, probably due for some regression here in terms of the win-loss column. Binnington at this point, 11-8-3, a goals against average of 3.1 and a save percentage right at 90. He's given up 16 goals throughout the course of the last 4 games. All right, and again, his team has helped him in that regard, but him specifically has really not been that strong. So Jacob Markstrom on the other side for Calgary. Again, this Flames team, it's not that they've been dominant or anything as of late, but it feels like they're due, and you're seeing the line movement go their way, and it seems situationally that this would be advantageous to the home team, Calgary. They've lost their last 4 out of 5, and they lost on Saturday at Edmonton, but they really did a great job of getting more shots on goal, and that's been their strong suit this season, which should come through tonight against Binnington, the weaker goalie, and a St. Louis team on the second leg of a back-to-back. Now, Markstrom this season, 13-9-5, but his goals against average is 2.3 and a save percentage of 92%. He's also got 5 shutouts this year. At home, a little bit better with his goals against average, 2.2. 5-4-4 is his record, 91% with his saves, 2 shutouts. Look, the Flames in itself, their team hasn't helped him too much. It's kind of the opposite, right? I mean, with Binnington, not that great. Team's been helping him out. The other side, Markstrom's been solid. Team hasn't come through for him offensively. I think the tide switches a little bit for tonight, and it helps, again, that St. Louis is on that second leg of a back-to-back and don't have their top guy tending the net. So I think the Flames are the right side here. And look, again, St. Louis is kind of a volatile team, at least when I look at it in terms of betting them. But I just think situationally, it's worth to look at the side of Calgary. I probably wouldn't go above 155, which is where you're seeing right now at BetRivers. And again, I got minus 152, but I still think Calgary's a decent look tonight. And Andy McNeil, VSiN's NHL expert, go check out all his analysis on the games on a daily basis, VSIN.com. He also agreed with the Flames in this spot, thinking they're due for a good bounce-back area, and this could definitely be it against the St. Louis Blues. So him and I are going to be riding the Calgary Flames tonight on the money line. Minus 152 is the spot that I got. And again, aside from that, if you're just joining in or you missed it earlier, we're playing the Flames on the money line for hockey. Nothing with the Blackhawks and the Avalanche tonight. Would only be anything on Colorado or nothing. But then the Bulls and the Thunder matchup, thinking it's a good buy-low spot on this Bulls team. Hopefully, LaVine can be back in the mix. That would be a miracle. Him and Javonte Green or Vooch, if they all three could go in, that would be fantastic. But even if you don't get LaVine or Javonte Green in the mix, at least if you could get Vooch still in there, after what happened last night, them getting, well, pretty much embarrassed is the simple way to put it, buy-low spot here could be taken on the Bulls. They need it. They're slipping down throughout the standings of the Eastern Conference, and they have a weak opponent in Oklahoma City, who, again, offensively ranks 30th in offensive points per 100 possessions at 102.5, and defensively they rank 18th in defensive points per 100 possessions allowed at 111. So if there's a time for the Bulls to kind of get on a little bit of a rhythm, even if it's just on an individual night, should be this evening against the Thunder. Played them on the money line. All right. Coming up next, we are going to be talking a little bit of NFL action. We've got Danielle Alvari, host of the Los Angeles CityCast, joining along. And look, she's got the Rams to talk about, her favorite quarterback, Matt Stafford. We joke about teams. I mean, speaking of the Blackhawks, they're kind of the team in the NHL who has screwed me regardless of how I bet them. I think that's Matt Stafford for me. So, you know, I'm going to heed to whatever Danielle says about this game, and then we'll follow suit. But excited to get her thoughts on that NFC Championship matchup, and we'll also talk a little bit of NBA futures, Clippers, Lakers, see if she likes any value with them or outside of them. And then a half hour from now, Adam Burke, VSiN's betting analyst, we'll talk an early preview for those NFL games and also some college hoops on this Monday evening. So stick around, plenty more sports betting coming your way. It is Rush Hour right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of city casts that are designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. And you've got the city casts available in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. So subscribe to your local city cast wherever you get your podcasts available, and you get hooked up multiple episodes a week. Great local sports betting content. Back at it on this Monday evening. Thank you for being with us. The show is Rush Hour. I'm Danny Burke, your host, live out of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook here in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Not too much excitement going around. I mean, we got the Bulls, Blackhawks tonight. Bears head coaching a GM search looking for success, but a city that does have success in terms of football. How about Los Angeles? And host of the Los Angeles CityCast, Danielle Alvari, joining us right now. And Danielle, you know, you and I were kind of joshing around in between the break here, and I was saying, you know, Matt Stafford is just one of those quarterbacks, one of those teams, the Rams, that I feel like I just can't pick the right side. I was on the Bucks. I ended up going 2-1, so like I'll take it, but it's like the Bucks teased me enough, brought me back into the game. They lost, but you know what? Good for Matt Stafford. I know you were on the Rams in this game, so shout out to you as well. What was going through your mind throughout the course of that game? You must have been going nuts.
Well, it was crazy. We talked about this, but I actually ended up making my bet right before the game because I knew I didn't even want to take the points with the Rams. I said, if they're going to do this, they have to win this game. That's the way that this has to play out. And it looked that way in the first half, and then it seemed like they did everything they could to give it away. Things were breaking both directions, and then it felt like, how are the Bucks even still in this? It was funny because before the game, people are like, oh, you're a homer. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not from here. Second of all, I don't always cheer for the Rams, but in this situation, I was looking for any excuse not to bet on Matt Stafford in this situation versus Tom Brady. I was absolutely looking for every reason not to. And I just looked at my numbers, and there's been times where I've not bet the Rams because I thought maybe I am just like too close to this team, right? We kind of get that way sometimes. Maybe we're tilted when we're betting. And I thought, no, all my numbers say that the Rams should win this game. And we saw that they should have won by more, actually, is what we were kind of talking about as well. So it was tough. about halftime, there were some really good numbers where you could have tried to hedge yourself, obviously, with Tampa Bay, and I considered it, but then I thought, no, let me just ride this out and see how it plays out, and it was chaos until the end.
Yeah, it was just so nuts, and you're right. I mean, you can never discredit Tom Brady, count him out ever since 28-3 and then 27-3, virtually the same thing, and it almost came through, but then look, the Stafford-Cooper Cup connection comes through, Todd Bowles' defense in question, but whatever happens, it happened for the Rams and it happened for the good of your bet, which we're happy for you at least, Danielle. But I got to ask you, I mean, look, after that game, I mean, how does that make you feel about this Rams team going into the NFC Championship? Because in a game like that, like, yes, the Bucs caught a lot of advantages in the sense of getting all of those fumbles conveniently to them in the bad snap. Like, all of that was in favor of Tampa Bay, who couldn't execute a lot of the times in the case of that. And then you're getting a Rams performance on that side to where it's like, man, you blew it. And usually when you blow that big of a lead, usually don't win the game, but they did, and they were able to overcome that. Do you think that translates well into the momentum of them against the 49ers? Or is it more like, all right, we're a little bit nervous, we almost blew it, now they're kind of shaky going into it? I mean, how do you assess that?
Well, as far as the momentum is concerned, I don't think that they're necessarily in a good position coming off that Bucs loss, because we saw them almost literally fumble this away so many times. I mean, Matt Stafford in that final drive when he tried to rush, I was like, what are you doing? And he almost lost the ball. And I thought that would be hilarious, because I definitely thought it would have been an interception that would have ended it all. And instead it's like, oh, you're going to drop the ball. So there's been so many shaky moments that you can tell the Rams, at least on the offensive side of things, aren't feeling 100%. And that said, I said that I went with the Rams in this game because that's who looked like the better team to me on paper here. I said this team is trending up, their offense is starting to click. And on the Bucs on the other side, yes, they have Tom Brady, but they're having offensive line issues. There's players that are missing. There's players that are taking their shirts off and leaving the field. So there was just kind of trending a little bit more in a downward direction while the Rams were kind of going up for me in a lot of categories. And I thought, you know, better to be on that side. Now, when we look at the 49ers matchup, I feel a little bit differently, because if I look at these teams side by side, two really great defenses, and for whatever reason, the 49ers just have the Rams card figured out here, right? And so when they go head to head, there's something about this 49ers team that they just give the Rams so much trouble. And if you think this is going to be a really, really tight game, I think I want to be on the side of the 49ers here. And it's tough because each time it seems like the Rams get a little bit closer to beating them, but there's something about this McVay-Shanahan matchup that just doesn't seem to add up in the Rams' favor.
And that's what's so fascinating about this game, because I'm kind of with you here, Danielle. I mean, I look at it and I look at the spread at 3, and even in some spots, maybe still at 3.5, got up to 3.5, whatever it may be. I bet Rivers right now it's 3. But my first thought would be, all right, how can I take points with San Francisco? They've already beaten them twice, but then you're like, it's hard to beat a team twice, let alone 3 times. But Shanahan has it figured out, whatever it is against McVay. Now, on the side of San Francisco, Danielle, I got to ask you, I mean, you know, they got the job done against Green Bay. You applaud them. Fantastic team effort, special teams, way better than the Packers when they needed to be. But Jimmy Garoppolo, can you trust him enough in this game, or is it going to be maybe the philosophy like they've done earlier, run the ball, and get that lead early on?
Well, it absolutely needs to be a situation where they get the lead early. The offense that they had rolled out, even in a snow game, was not going to cut it against this Rams team. That said, the 49ers have to lead with their best foot, which is their defense right now. And also, Deebo Samuel, we talk about him, and the Rams have had no answer for him, similar to how nobody has an answer for Cooper Kupp, but Deebo Samuel, just so multi-talented, you don't really have a player in the league who you can compare him to. I mean, just in the last game, he had his own rushing touchdown and then passed a touchdown. What do you do? How do you cover this guy? So there are things that are working for the 49ers. It's not for me trusting Jimmy Garoppolo, because I trust his football. I'm not sure I trust his thumb, his hand. We know he's been in a lot of pain right now, but he found a way to pull that out versus the Rams last time. But I think to the detriment, I think it made his injury worse. And maybe that's what we were kind of also seeing come out to play in that Packers game. But the way that their offense looked, it did not look like it was going to stand up against, we know Matt Stafford is going to get his yards, and one way or another, he's going to get some points on the board. So I do think that this is going to have to be a defensive matchup, and the Rams' best case scenario is do what they do best and get out early. Early lead in the first half would really be the best way for them to get this done. I just don't know if the 49ers are going to have the offensive power they need to keep up. That's the only concern for me there.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're absolutely right. And even going back to what we saw with the Rams and the Bucs, the issue that the Bucs were having defensively, they had no pressure on Matt Stafford, whether it's scheme, whether they just had great blocking from the Rams, whatever it may be. That's when you can really beat this Rams team, get Stafford flustered, make him commit turnovers. That's how you beat him. But that's why he was so comfortable. And San Francisco's great up front, so that definitely could be the case. But you're right, it comes back down to, can we trust Jimmy Garoppolo? He's been here, but he's also a little bit banged up, not as talented as Stafford, and it's okay to admit that. Now, considering this is the third time they've met, Danielle, and we know how good both defenses can be, this total has seen a little bit of love to the under, 47 to about 46.5. Any interest in following that momentum to the under? Are you waiting? Do you think it's going to be higher scoring? What are your thoughts on the total?
I do think it's going to be lower scoring. I think that's what we've grown to expect. But it's interesting because if we look at these last two games that they played this season, I mean, in week 10, it was a 41 points. Week 18, final score was 27-24, so well over the first meeting, which is kind of interesting. That, of course, was an overtime game, so that's a little bit different as well. I'm not convinced we wouldn't see an overtime game in this situation either. So it's tough for me because I do think this number is not one that I want to bet just yet, but I do lean under in this game because I do think that the 49ers know that that's their best chance of winning this. They can't out-offense Matt Stafford.
All right, Danielle, we got about a minute or so remaining. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Los Angeles Lakers and maybe a little bit of squeezing with the Clippers. They don't have a game tonight, but you're looking at these Western Conference futures odds at Bet Rivers. Los Angeles Lakers plus 650, Clippers 16-1. What is your synopsis of these teams as of this moment?
The Lakers right now, as well as LeBron is playing, I mean, actually taking an incredible amount of shots. He's attempting 20.9 shots per game. That's the most since 2008, 2007 for him. So it's all working for LeBron James, and yet everything around him has been not working. And that's just the nicest way for me to say it. So they really need to shake up this roster at this point. I don't know if it's a Westbrook for Wall trade. I don't know what they're going to do. It seems like they've been shopping around Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker. Nobody's interested. And so they're going to have to do something because it can't just be LeBron James' show. He needs to be put in a position to succeed. Even with Anthony Davis back, this team needs one more piece to kind of get everything working well. And unfortunately, I don't think that Westbrook is the fit for this team. And so maybe it is Wall. But either way, it definitely needs to be a roster shakeup for them. And then they're right there in it. It's the Lakers. They're absolutely a title team at any point. The Clippers, however, kind of a dark horse as well. They've gone over in three of their last four games, which is unusual for them, not usual for their offense. They scored at least 100 points in their last four games, and they just beat the Sixers on Saturday. Once they get Kawhi and Paul George back, this might be a contender.
There you have it, Danielle Alvari. If you want more on all things Los Angeles sports, give her a follow on Twitter at Danielle Alvari and subscribe to the Los Angeles CityCast. Danielle, thank you for making time. As always, best luck with all your plays this week.
Thanks, Danny.
You got it. Okay, coming up next, we're keeping it in the realm of VSiN contributors. How about VSiN's betting analyst Adam Burke going to be joining us early previews for championship weekend, and he's got a couple of plays on the hardwood for college hoops tonight. So stick around. That's coming up next. It is Rush Hour.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN has a great new offer to help make this your best betting year ever. And you can do that with our all-new Big Game Big Dance Special, which provides VSiN Plus all access to everything we do from right now through April 5th for only $69. So sign up now and get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming big game and college hoops betting guides. Plus, you get full access to VSiN.com along with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year, so don't miss out on one of our best deals of the year. Check it out at VSiN.com/big deal to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/big deal. Welcome back to Rush Hour on this Monday evening. The network is VSiN. I'm Danny Burke, your host. Joining us next, it is Adam Burke. You can follow him on Twitter at SkatingTripods and catch his work at VSiN.com/subscribe. Adam, thank you, as always, for making some time at the start of the week. Always love getting your thoughts early on. You know, you came on last week. You were tipping us off about that under with San Fran and Green Bay. I followed you on it, and after that first touchdown, we were sitting pretty nice. So thank you for that. We're looking forward to what you got for this weekend, too. So let's start right away with Kansas City and Cincinnati. This game, 2 p.m. Central Time kickoff, and we're seeing Kansas City a 7-point home favorite, total at about 54.5. I mean, the first thing you look at is, well, could be an easy tease down, could be a game that's another shootout. But how are you looking to approach it early on?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting. You mentioned this one being a shootout, and that's certainly a possibility. I mean, you know, Cincinnati's played very well defensively in their two games. They've given up 35 points. Obviously, it's a much different animal when you talk about facing Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense. But, Danny, let me throw this at you here. So the total here for this game is 54. The total for the Bills-Chiefs game throughout most of the week was 54. I mean, look, I understand Kansas City's offense is very, very potent, very, very good. And I know Joe Burrow is great and flew over his passing yards prop last week. But can we really sit here and look at this game and say that the total should be lined the same as that Buffalo-Kansas City game was? I don't think so. Look, there could be a lot of points in this game, and I could be dead wrong on this, but I think this total is too high. I think that it should be closer to the 51.5 that it opened. I just don't see any reason why we should be treating Cincinnati's offense as if it's on par with the Bengals' offense. And furthermore, I think Cincinnati's defense is being a little bit underrated in this matchup here. So I think the under, and I'm going to wait on this one and wait and see how high this total actually goes, but I think the under is definitely the play in this game.
I actually kind of agree with your assessment, right? I mean, that's the first time. I mean, people think Joe Burrow's an electric quarterback. And don't get me wrong. He's great, great weapons, everything. But his offensive line kills him. And you're right. The defense is kind of underappreciated. So maybe the total's a little bit overvalued. And really quick before we even move on, I'm not sure if you saw, Adam, but our graphics department put up our nice little Step Brothers picture there. You know, the Burke brothers, our producer Britton always loves to see it. There we go. I'm not sure if I deserve to be the one standing at the top. I mean, you're the expert here. But look, they got a nice little graphic for us if you guys were all wondering why it was randomly thrown up there. But moving along, Adam. 49ers.
I think we need to get the sweater vests at a minimum.
Oh, we got to, right? Yeah, we got to get like a custom VSIN sweater vest or something. Then we'll have to make it a consistent thing. I will try to transition off of that now, and then we'll look to talk 49ers and Rams, Adam. San Fran catching 3 right now. This total at 46.5. We just had Danielle Ovarian, host of the Los Angeles City Cast, and we were previewing this game. And she was kind of looking the direction of San Francisco, right, taking the points. They've had the stronghold on the Rams, but it's really tough to beat a team 3 times, even 2 times in a season. And then in terms of that total, Adam, I mean, this thing has trended toward the under a slight bit, and I can't say I disagree with that, but how are you approaching this one then for the NFC?
Yeah, you know, obviously you're going to hear a lot of things about how San Francisco won the 2 regular season meetings, how the 49ers have won 6 in a row. Keep in mind, this Rams team is better than the Rams team that we saw over the last couple of years. I mean, Matthew Stafford is an upgrade to Jared Goff. They've got Von Miller now. He's obviously a very important piece. We'll see if they get Andrew Whitworth back this week. That would certainly help. But I thought it was really interesting that this game opened 4, and then as the Rams were kind of blowing that lead against Tampa Bay, it went down to 3.5. Then we saw some 3 with some extra juice, which is the number that was on the screen there a minute ago. There are a lot of concerns I have for both teams in this game. You've had some injuries on both sides of the ball for both teams. That's part of it. But the biggest problem I have is I don't know which one of these coaches I want to trust. Sean McVay called maybe the worst second half of all time in that conference championship game against the Buccaneers. And Kyle Shanahan has not looked good in his big games either. Not as many problems with what happened here against Green Bay, but he looked pretty bad in the fourth quarter of that Cowboys game. We all know what happened in the Super Bowl when he was the offensive coordinator for Atlanta. So there are a lot of things you worry about here with both of these coaches in these late game situations. That being said, one of the things I kind of keyed in on for this game here so far, the Rams had 5.1 yards per play in the first meeting that they lost 31-10, trailed by double digits throughout, threw the ball 42 times in that game, still only 5.1 yards per play. And then in the second game, in that Week 18 game, they only had 4.1 yards per play. So DeMeco Ryans has drawn up 2 really strong game plans against this Rams offense. The 49ers offense has not looked particularly good here in the postseason. I agree with that move towards the under. I like the under 46.5 here, even though this total is adjusted down a little bit from the 2 regular season meetings.
Now, the nice thing about having these games kind of dwindle down, I mean, it stinks because we don't get a sizable slate, but you get a lot of these betting opportunities offered pretty early. Now, I don't know if you've had time to jump into it just yet, or maybe you're pondering some of it, but any props for each of these games that you would say maybe keep an eye out for of what you can expect from whatever player?
No, at this point in time, I don't think I really have too much to offer from a prop standpoint. I'll dig into it a little bit later in the later on in the week. You know, Matthew Stafford under 37 and a half pass attempts was one I had here yesterday. He gets 38 on the spike. I mean, the game never should have gotten to that point, but you know, the Rams really went into a shell. And I thought that was interesting. You know, they used Sony Michel a lot in the lead up to that game against Tampa Bay. And then he was nowhere to be found yesterday. And Cam Akers wasn't overly effective. So I kind of wonder if maybe Sony Michel goes back to being the focal point in this game against the 49ers. So I guess I'm kind of thinking along the lines of seeing what his rush attempts prop looks like.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, we'll keep a lookout for that for sure. Adam, I know you also got some bets in terms of college basketball tonight. Want to hear your thoughts on some of these games, including North Carolina and Virginia Tech. The Tar Heels, 4.5 points is what they're laying at home. This total we're seeing at about 141 in the hook. What you got for this matchup?
Yeah, so every Wednesday in Point Spread Weekly over at VSiN.com, which you can get for $9.99, or just go ahead and get that Big Game Big Dance special you talked about earlier, I write about a couple of teams to fade and a couple of teams to back. And one of the teams I've isolated as a fade team here for this week is actually North Carolina. When you look at North Carolina, over their last six games, they've only turned the opposition over on 11.2% of possessions, and they're in the bottom five in the country for the full season in terms of turnover percentage on defense. And of late here, they're not defending the three well. Over their last six games, opponents shooting better than 38% from three. That's something that certainly plays into what Virginia Tech wants to do offensively. So to me, I think it's really hard as a favorite to cover numbers when you're not getting extra possessions, when you're not forcing those turnovers. So North Carolina is a team that in the first draft of that article, I found as a good fade team. And I'll go ahead and put that into action tonight and take the Hokies plus the 4.5.
All righty, then. I know you got some Pac-12 action at the end of the night as well. USC, Arizona State, Trojans laying 12, total at 135.5. Your thoughts for this game?
Yeah, this is one where a little Pac-12 after dark. I'm going to take a look at the dog in this game with Arizona State and USC. USC is a pathetic free throw shooting team. They're under 62% on the season. When you're in a favorite role, particularly in this 6-12 point range, you've got to be a good free throw shooting team because you will get the game extended over those final possessions where Arizona State's probably going to be in a position where they have to foul, try to get the ball back. USC not very good at the free throw line. Also, too, they don't turn the opposition over. They're 325th in the nation against Division I opponents in turnover percentage. So you've got a USC team that is probably going to leave some points at the free throw line. They're not going to get extra possessions. And Arizona State is a pretty good team defensively inside the arc. They're 35th in two-point percentage defense. USC is a good three-point shooting team, but they don't really take a whole lot of them. They're 327th in three-point rate, and Arizona State struggles a little bit to defend that. So the fact that USC is going to try to play inside against a team that's really good defensively, I think makes it tough for them to cover such a big number here. So kind of like the under 135 a little bit, under 135.5. But also Arizona State plus the 12 getting the points.
There you have it. Some college hoops and NFL insight from our guy Adam Burke at Skating Tripods on the tweets. And again, VSiN.com/subscribe to get some of his blurbs and many more write-ups on a daily basis. Adam, appreciate it as always. Best of luck with those plays tonight. We'll look forward to more of your action on VSiN.com for the NFL Championship weekend.
Thanks, Danny. Have a good night.
You got it. You as well. There it is. Myself and my stepbrother, Adam Burke. Shout out to the VSiN graphics department with that beautiful image. Like we said, we got to get that sweater vest going, baby. We got to get the customized VSiN Rush Hour sweater vest. We'll do it every Monday. We'll get it going. All right. Coming up next, we'll go further into the NFL Championship weekend. I'm going to share my two cents about each of those games. Again, we'll tell you kind of where these lines open for both the spread and the total, where they've moved to, where an early bet might be worth a play, or some futures down the road. And we'll recap some of the action that we had at the beginning of the program with the Bulls and our play in the NHL. Stick around. That coming up next as we round out another edition of Rush Hour.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetRivers Sportsbook takes football same-game parlays to a whole other level. Now you can combine same-game parlays from different games to give you even more ways to make your perfect combination. So download the BetRivers app or go to BetRivers.com today to explore all the new ways you can create your ideal combo. Must be 21, gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER, Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Colorado, 1-800-522-4700, Michigan, 1-800-270-7117, 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF, playable in New Jersey, as play Sugar House, void where prohibited. Okay, welcome back to the final segment of Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Danny Burke, your host, and I'm kind of chuckling a little bit here because if you tune into the beginning of Rush Hour, we were previewing this Bulls and Thunder game, and there was the chance that Zach LaVine and Javonte Green were going to be back in play, which is huge naturally, right? So we bet the Bulls on the money line minus 125. Then Casey Johnson tweets out that Zach LaVine will be playing along with Javonte Green. Tremendous, right? Now I'm going around during this commercial break, you know, prancing on Twitter at DannyBurke5 if you want to chirp me or whatever for doing so. But I'm like, yes, let's go. Hopefully you jumped in on the line early because, you know, I was saying on the Chicago CityCast too, like, I wouldn't be surprised with the news of LaVine playing if they had him, Green, Vooch in the mix, DeRozan, everybody, that it would go up to maybe like 4, 4.5. So it didn't really move too much, but then Casey Johnson proceeds to tweet out that DeMar DeRozan is not going to be playing for a rest night. Nothing injury-wise, but just he's going to be resting. So, I don't know. You know, you take one, you get rid of one. I take into account as much as you want, but DeRozan being out obviously is just as impactful considering that LaVine is going to be limited. Green's going to play less than 25 minutes, supposedly. LaVine's going to play more than that, but it's still kind of trying to get back into the rhythm. So, you know, take that information as you will. I'm still on the Bulls' money line, minus 125. Rivers, the line didn't really go too crazy. Some spots went up to 2.5, I know, based upon the news. I guess it's off the board right now at Bet Rivers, so we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, keep that in mind. LaVine playing, Javonte Green playing, but no DeMar DeRozan. So kind of an interesting handicap at that point. I was feeling awesome. LaVine back, DeRozan back, but he did drop 41 last night, so I guess you got to give him a little bit of rest. Still like the Bulls, though, to take advantage of Oklahoma City. All right, let's move on to the NFL. We've heard thoughts from Danielle Elvari. We've heard thoughts from Adam Burke about the NFL championship weekend, but I wanted to take some time and give you my 2 cents for my early, you know, just kind of synopsis and assessment of these games as where the lines open and where they've kind of moved to a little bit as of this point. We can begin with Cincinnati and Kansas City. Line open 7 at most spots. Total open about 53.5. When we were talking about it with Adam, like we said, I mean, this thing ticked up to about 54.5. Money line for KC minus 315. Cincinnati plus 265. Starting with the total, I actually like what Adam was saying a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense. Your first thought probably, if you're just kind of looking at it from a casual perspective more than just an objective betting perspective, is that, yeah, this game is probably going to feature a lot of points. Why would you bet the under? You got Patrick Mahomes, his Kansas City offense, who's absolutely dominant. You saw how many points they put up last night against the Bills and how far ahead that game went over. And then you look at the Bengals and you go, well, it's Joe Burrow. I mean, it's going to be a shootout. He's got Ja'Marr Chase, who's a monster. He's got Mixon. He's got Boyd. He's got Higgins. They got a lot of weapons. But at the same time, you know, Adam's right. I mean, Cincinnati's offense can be great, and we saw this game already going to shootout earlier this season. What was it, 34-31? But Cincinnati's offensive line is going to limit Joe Burrow's playing ability to some extent. You saw it happen against Tennessee. That's just how good Joe Burrow is, that he can overcome it and still have some success against the Titans. And it's not that Kansas City's defense necessarily that much better, but on the road at Arrowhead, tougher environment to play in against a tougher team with more experience and a way better quarterback than Tannehill, that's not going to bode well for Cincinnati in my mind, and even more so to Cincinnati's offense. I mean, look, I get it. Kansas City gave up a crap ton of points to the Bills, but that's not surprising. We were expecting that. But the Bills have a lot better offense than Cincinnati does, especially up front. So I again, you know, Adam was saying, like, I could be completely wrong and, you know, I could understand that. And I agree with him. And I'm not sitting here saying bet the under, don't bet the over. But I think it's definitely an interesting thing to consider when looking at the early handicap. Maybe don't rush to bet the over if that's what you want to do right now. Perhaps you'll see some late buyback and it can come down to like 54, 53 and a half. Maybe. We'll see. But we still got a lot of time to wait for it to develop when we get to this weekend. But with the spread, I mean, that really hasn't wavered at any point. It's still been at 7. The juice is minus 112 with Kansas City. As for Cincinnati, it's minus 109. It's just seeming like it's going to be a huge teaser spot for Kansas City, plain and simple, right? I mean, teasing down Kansas City to -1, just got to win the dang game, which they should be more than capable of doing against the Cincinnati Bengals. But then your question is, okay, well, what do you want to tease it with? And there's only a finite amount of options to pair it with, and typically, you know, we don't want to tease down totals, tease up totals, or totals in general, so then you would have to consider looking at the game for San Francisco and LA, and we don't want to tease through the zero, so then you would ponder teasing up San Francisco from +3 to +9, which absolutely could be a viable option considering that they have already dealt with the Rams twice and took care of business once, just absolutely dominating them 31-10, and the next game they proceeded to come back from a 17-point deficit. Now again, that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to win this game or keep it close, but they have been great in yards per play heading into the postseason. They were #1 in the NFL. And when we talked about the San Francisco team last week, I mean, the same thing remains to be true. Up front, they're absolutely dominant. They're great in that sense. But where they can be a little bit worrisome is in that secondary. And they took care of Aaron Rodgers for the most part, right? I mean, they did what they needed to do. And beyond that, that what we expected at least. But that first drive, that's what can happen. That's how the 49ers secondary can be vulnerable against good quarterback play, what Aaron Rodgers did on that very first possession. Now, Matt Stafford looked fantastic against the Bucs. There is no denying that. And the reason was is because he had ample time to feel comfortable back there, let his receivers run their routes and get to the right spots and feel comfortable throwing the ball and doing it with a lot of precision. Now, the 49ers, you would assume and hope they can scheme up something a little bit differently to put more pressure on Matt Stafford. They know how to deal with him. They've done it twice already. Shanahan has their number. He will know what to do. The whole team will know what to do. But how do you look at betting this game right away? Because as much as I want to back San Francisco, if I'm truthfully trying to look at it objectively, because I don't know, I kind of, for whatever reason, am leaning just from a fan standpoint to wanting to see San Francisco in there. But something deep down, and just from what we've seen, and you don't want to get caught in recency bias, but you're catching a hot team at the right time. And San Francisco is one of those teams, don't get me wrong. But the quarterback play, you know, and I've said not to trust Stafford, but against Jimmy Garoppolo, you kind of got to trust Stafford a little bit more so. I feel like the Rams may be the right side in this game. But again, I'm probably going to wait a little bit, let this line develop, let it process, see where it kind of settles toward as we get to like Thursday and Friday, and then see if we get a better number or just where the market's moving it toward. If you told me you were backing one side or the other, honestly, I wouldn't disagree with you as of this point. A lot of cases can be made for both teams. If I'm looking for anything right now, though, in terms of, I guess, you know, two top plays that I would seemingly do, because of where the numbers are now, I think betting the under for San Francisco and Los Angeles would probably be my first thought. I would hope I could get 47 flat, whether it's paying a little bit more like we did with the 49ers-Packers, not that we needed to, but if it's like 8 cents more, personally, I'm fine with that. You could probably get a better number at that point unless it just continues to go down, but that would be my first motive in terms of an action to take would be to bet the under. And then teasing down Kansas City and probably looking to tease up San Francisco. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but that would be my first instinct. Because Kansas City, I really don't have any doubt that they can take control of this game and win it. And Tennessee, you know, losing to Cincinnati did not shock me. I mean, I think a lot of people, including myself, saw Tennessee as one of the weaker teams in the postseason in a very weak one seed. We were down on them this whole season. We bet their win total under, you know, once or twice, and look, it didn't come through, but they didn't come through in the postseason. But I think it's going to end for Joe Burrow and company. But where we are looking pretty good, and hopefully you were able to follow before the season on what we can assess and how to attack early on right now, is what to do with our Chiefs futures ticket, right? I mean, we had the Bills 8-1, Chiefs +425 to win the Super Bowl. Right now, obviously, you know, considering they're 7-point favorites and I feel comfortable with them winning, I'm going to sit back on that and feel pretty good about the Chiefs' chances to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl now. But hopefully you're able to hold that in your back pocket like I am, and then we can be sitting pretty fine when it comes to the Super Bowl, assuming that it's going to be Kansas City representing it from the AFC side of things. But right now, nothing that I'm doing officially with this game. If I really had to narrow it down, again, I think the under for San Fran LA would be my top play, but we'll get more analysis and insight on this game as we progress throughout the week. And we'll get some early props, first half lines. Those are coming out earlier, which is nice. So plenty to talk about in the coming days here on Rush Hour. But as for tonight, in case you missed it, the two plays we do got this evening, all the mayhem going on with the Bulls, we're playing them on the money line. And then the Calgary Flames on the money line versus the Blues. Best of luck if you play any of these or any other plays. We will be back tomorrow for another edition of Rush Hour. Until then, take care, folks.